of something.
The Senate will please come to order. Roll call.
Roll call for Tuesday, February 10th. Anderson District 2.
Here.
Anderson District 28.
Here.
Barnard.
Here.
Bebout.
Here.
Burns.
Here.
Case.
Present.
Christensen.
Here.
Coe.
Here.
Cooper.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Dockstetter.
Here.
Driscoll.
Here.
Emmerich. Escobel,
here.
Geis,
here.
Hastert,
here.
Hicks,
here.
Johnson,
here.
Kinski,
here.
Landon,
here.
Meyer,
here.
Pappas,
here.
Perkins,
here.
Peterson,
here.
Ross,
here.
Rothfuss,
here.
Scott,
here.
Von Platern,
here.
Wasserberger,
here.
President Nicholas.
Here.
30 present.
Father Schumacher will lead us in the prayer.
Let us pray. O gracious God, listen to the petition we present in this offering of morning praise. By the gentle medicine of your kindly light, heal the hidden wounds of our hearts, that no dark thoughts may entangle us, who at this moment gratefully stand under heaven's radiance. This we ask in your most holy name. Amen.
Amen. Please join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will the reading clerk please read the Journal Committee report?
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February the 9th, 2015, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Jeff Wasserberger, Chairman.
Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. Let's see, the doctor for the day is Kirk Shamley. Dr. Shamley, I don't see him here. We'll recognize him when he gets here. In 1904, the United States Secretary of Interior set aside $2.2 million for the initial construction of the Shoshone Project, including the dam, which is one of the first federal reclamation projects in the nation and the largest federal project in Wyoming. $2.2 million for a dam. It's a bargain. Today is day 21 of the proposed 37-day session, last day for second reading in the House of Origin. Tomorrow will be the last day for third reading on bills in the House of Origin and Committee of the Whole for the supplemental budget. Messages from the House.
February the 9th, 2015, from the House of Representatives. Message number, Committee of the Whole, indefinitely postponed. Mr. President, the House adopted the Committee of the Whole report, failing the bills listed below by the vote indicated. House Bill number 50, Microbeads Prohibition, ayes 23, noes 35, excuse 2. The bill has been indefinitely postponed. House Bill number 220, Wyoming Coal Specialty License Plate, ayes 21, noes 37, excuse 2. The bill has been indefinitely postponed. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Our next order of business is introduction of House bills on first reading. House Bill 132, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 132, Juvenile Confidentiality in Court Proceeding, sponsored by Representative Throne. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 54, no 6.
House Bill 132 is assigned to Committee number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 145, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 145, Principal and Income Act Amendments. Sponsored by Representative Brown. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 60.
House Bill 145 is assigned to Committee number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 146, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 146, sponsored by Representative Brown, Uniform Trust Code. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill 146 is assigned to Committee number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 150, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 150, Arrest for Violation of Probation, sponsored by Representative Crone. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 47, noes 13.
House Bill 150 is assigned to Committee number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 151, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 151, Governmental Immunity Waiver for Hospital Employees, sponsored by Representative Conley. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 60.
House Bill 151 is assigned to Committee number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 160.
House Bill number 160, Special Warranty Deed, sponsored by Representative Brown. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 60.
House Bill 160 is assigned to Committee number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 161, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 161, Retirement Account Exemption from Execution. Sponsored by Representative Brown. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 60.
House Bill 161 is assigned to Committee number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 180.
House Bill number 180, Child Interviews, Neglect, and Abuse Cases. Sponsored by Representative Crone. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill 180 is assigned to Committee number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 186, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 186, Human Trafficking Forfeiture of Property, sponsored by Representative Conley. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill number 186 is assigned to Committee number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 211.
House Bill number 211, Post-Conviction Actual Innocence, sponsored by Representative Pelkey. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 53, noes 6, excused 1.
House Bill 211 is assigned to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 214.
House Bill Number 214, Practice of Law Amendment, sponsored by Representative Brown. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 53, noes 5, excused 2.
House Bill 214 is assigned to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. I guess we'll know where to find them. House Bill 137, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 137, Child Custody, sponsored by Representative Northrup. Pass the House. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 32, noes 27, excused 1. I don't know what that's on. There's some figures on there.
Maybe it passed the House. House Bill 137 is assigned to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. House Bill 225, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 225, Highway Patrol Security Duties, sponsored by Representative Berger. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill 225 is assigned to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. House Bill 159, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 159, Education Writing Assessment, sponsored by Representative Throne. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 53, noes 6, excused 1.
House Bill 159 is assigned to Committee Number 4, Education. House Joint Resolution Number 6.
House Joint Resolution Number 6, Wyoming Local Food Production, sponsored by Representative Berger. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 60.
House Joint Resolution Number 6 is signed to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. House Bill 135, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 135, Lifetime Archery Licenses, sponsored by Representative Blackburn. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill 135 is assigned to Committee Number 6, Travel. House Bill 136, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 136, Interstate Game Tag Exemption Meat Processors, sponsored by Representative Madden. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill 136 is assigned to Committee Number 6, Travel. House Bill 149, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 149, Special Non-Resident Hunting License Draw, sponsored by Representative Crone. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 44, noes 15, excused 1.
House Bill 149 is assigned to Committee Number 6, Travel. House Bill 154, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 154, Complementary Hunting License Persons with Disabilities, sponsored by Representative Kirkbride. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 54, noes 5, excused 1.
House Bill 154 is assigned to Committee Number 6, Travel. House Bill 155, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 155, Hunters Who Use Wheelchairs Donated Licenses, sponsored by Representative Kirkbride. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill 155 is assigned to Committee Number 6, Travel. House Bill 127, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 127, Termination of Employment Wages, sponsored by Representative Lloyd Larson. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 60.
House Bill 127 is assigned to Committee Number 7, Corporations. House Bill 128, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 128, Notice Requirements, Special District Election, sponsored by Representative Gere. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill 128 is assigned to Committee Number 7, Corporations. House Bill 182, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 182, Public Assistance Eligibility, sponsored by Representative Conley. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 57, noes 2, excused 1.
House Bill 182 is assigned to Committee Number 7, Corporations. House Bill 228, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 228, Subdivision Family Exception, sponsored by Representative Gere. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill 228 is assigned to Committee Number 7, Corporations. House Bill 172, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 172, Disability Placard Designation, sponsored by Representative Kasparik. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill 172 is assigned to Committee Number 8, Transportation. House Bill 181, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 181, Speeding Penalties in 80-mile-per-hour Zone, sponsored by Representative Harshman. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 58, noes 1, excused 1.
House Bill 181 is assigned to Committee Number 8, Transportation. House Joint Resolution Number 8.
House Joint Resolution 8, Longer Combination Vehicles Compact Agreement, sponsored by Representative Dave Zwanitzer. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 36, noes 24.
House Joint Resolution Number 8 is assigned to Committee Number 8, Transportation. House Bill 152, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 152, Industrial Siding Impact Payments, sponsored by Representative Madden. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill 152 is assigned to Committee Number 9, Minerals. House Bill 193, first reading of the bill.
House Bill 193, Veteran Burial Teams, sponsored by Representative Bob Nicholas. Excuse me. Pass the House. Ayes 59, excused 1. Try to get a quick drink and ruin it all.
House Bill 193 is assigned to Committee Number 8, Transportation, Military Affairs. House Joint Resolution Number 7.
Thank you. House Joint Resolution 7, Bear Lodge Project, sponsored by Representative Burkhardt. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 59, excused 1.
House Joint Resolution Number 7 is assigned to Committee Number 9, Minerals. House Bill 138, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 138, Workers' Compensation for Special Education Teachers, sponsored by Representative Northrup. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill 138 is assigned to Committee Number 10, Labor. House Bill 139, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 139, Unemployment Compensation Protest Time Limit, sponsored by Representative Petrov. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 60.
House Bill 139 is assigned to Committee number 10, Labor. House Joint Resolution number 1.
House Joint Resolution number 1, Regulation Freedom, sponsored by Representative Winters. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 59, noes 9. Did I say that? 51 and 9.
House Joint Resolution number 1 is assigned to Committee number 12, Rules. House Joint Resolution number 4.
House Joint Resolution 4, Balanced Budget Amendment Resolution, sponsored by Representative Lindholm. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 44, noes 16.
House Joint Resolution number 4 is assigned to Committee number 12, Rules. Senator Hastert.
May I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
If I could get Senator Peterson, Landon, Pappas, Case, Rothfuss, and Kraft to stand, please. And Christensen, Senator Christensen, come on. Mr. President, last night at Wyoming Equality, House versus Senate karaoke throwdown, the Wyoming Senate brought home the trophy. It was quite an event. We sang She's a Lady, and we had right to our Queen of the Senate, and it was very well received. The judges said there was no contest. The Senate that said, "We are the champions. We are the champions."
First time ever. And Mr. President, if I could add to that, this is the first time ever that the Senate has won this competition.
And we did it all on Ray Peterson, carried us. It was the smoke, mirrors, and Ray Peterson.
Put that Very on. Good. Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Boy, how do you follow that? But I'll give it a try. We have a distinguished young group here today up in the West Gallery, and I'll ask them at this time to stand. There we go. Fellow senators, I'd like to introduce the junior leadership of Laramie County. They're all high school students here in our county. Will you please welcome them?
We're at that order of business. Reports from standing committees.
February the 10th, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporation Lexopolitical Subdivision, to whom was referred House Bill 41, engrossed, barbering license requirements, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Hicks, Meyer, Pappas, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman. February the 10th, 2015. Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporation Lexington Political Subdivision, to whom was referred House Bill 3, engrossed, Department of Insurance Fine Schedules. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Hicks, Meyer, Pappas, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman. February the 9th, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, Military Affairs, to whom was referred House Bill 22, Disabled Veteran License Plates. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, 02, Emmerich, Esquivel, Johnson, and Meyer, Senator Meyer, Chairman. February the 10th, 2015. Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporation Election Political Subdivision, to whom was referred House Bill 40, Insurance Adjusters Portable Electronic Devices, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Case, Hicks, Meyer, Pappas, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman. February the 10th, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, Cultural Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 104, engrossed, Big and Trophy Game Licenses Reservation, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Anderson, 28, Barnard, Cooper, Kraft, and Johnson, Senator Cooper, Chairman.
Our next order of business is bills on second reading. House Bill 145, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 145, Hospital Uncompensated Care, sponsored by Senator Peterson.
We have an amendment. If the reading clerk would please read in the first amendment.
Senate File 145, second reading amendment number 1 to substitute bill number 1, page 4, line 15.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 145. This goes into the Committee of the Whole amendment yesterday. Takes the appropriation from $5 million down to $22.5 million. Folks, if you pull out, you just would have gotten today a brand new goldenrod, and it would show you that we're in the hole now, $601,444. And that's solely the reason of this bill. And so in an effort to try to keep us within a balanced budget, I offer this amendment. Folks, these hospitals, while we're attempting to try to get them or to help them in some form or fashion, this is a one-time appropriation. For those of you that were concerned about Medicaid expansion and whether or not we'd ever be able to reduce funds from other programs or so forth, this is the same deal, folks. They'll be back again. And so get ready. If this is the path you want to go down, I can assure you that we already know that the hole is probably bigger next year. And in so doing, is this the plan in which we want to do? Is this the way in which we really want to do this? Are we going to, each year, going to have to come back for an additional appropriation? If this solved the problem, it may be a viable fix, but it doesn't solve the problem. It's a Band-Aid, and we all recognize that it's a Band-Aid. And it's an attempt to, in some small fashion, to address the issue, but it is a small fashion in which we are attempting to do this. I suggest to you that this is not the solution to a problem that is way bigger than we have money for. And so I'd urge your favorable consideration of this amendment.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. And Mr. President, member of the Senate, I too would ask that you support this, and speaking on in favor of the amendment, and the chairman of appropriations very correctly pointed out the goldenrod. The thing I just want to bring to your attention, something we all know very well, is that, you know, with the $222 million shortfall that we had based on the correct projections and how we're filling that void, we're using one-time money. Let's don't forget that. The $140 million plus the other amounts of money we stuck in there, the $184 that came from the LISRA that would have swept into LISRA, now we're capturing that on the way. That is one-time money. And so you're funding most of the shortfall with one-time money, and this only adds to that problem. And I think that the debate about why we need to look at that and the discussion about that is healthy. We should continue to have that discussion. But it's just really hard for me to support anything that puts us into the red even more than we already are. So I would ask that you support this amendment.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I would hope that we would resist this amendment. And the reason I say that, Mr. President, is that this is not the sole reason we're in the hole. We've got a lot of options that we're going to look at here in a few days when the budget is on the floor. And we're going to have 30 people look at it, not five. I've been in that situation when I was one of the five. And I've argued vigorously not to change anything, Mr. President. And I think there's areas there that I would continue to argue vigorously that we shouldn't have any change. But the reality of it is that we need to have everybody on this floor look at our priorities. And indeed, this is a Band-Aid. And this Band-Aid is even smaller with this amendment. Frankly, I think that this needs to enter into the discussion of the whole budget. And we also have to realize at some point in time that with the advent of low energy prices, which may exist for several years, that this is probably the first day of the rainy season, Mr. President.
Senator Peterson.
Mr. President, of course, on and against this amendment, I'd ask the body to resist this amendment. It comes down to a choice, as I mentioned the other day. We have a dollar of bad debt, uncollectible, uncompensated care, services that are being provided by these hospitals. And the choice we have to make is we have a dollar, we're offering 50 cents, half back, and this amendment takes it to 25 cents. So the question you have to ask yourself is a quarter is 25 cents as we flip it towards them, is that going to correct the problem? You know, it is little. It's even smaller if this amendment were to pass. And so that's the choice. As echoed by my colleague behind me, this isn't the only bill that's causing us to be in debt here, in the red as the Senate. There's other priorities out there that we'll take a look at as we talk about the budget. So it's a decision that this body will have to make. Is it ugly? Yes. I'm not a fan of this either. It's a Band-Aid. Yes. It's 1 year. That's it. But as a businessman, I know what bad debt is. In my profession, I have that option of not doing business with a person that can't pay. It's not a good business. We got a big plaque on our wall in our office that says bad business is worse than no business. This is bad business. I mean, how do these hospitals write off $1 million in bad debt each year? How do they make up for that? As a businessman, ask yourself that. In my business, it takes more to make up for that bad debt than $1 million. So it's a tough deal. It's ugly. As I mentioned, it's like scaffolding on the nation's capital. It's ugly. But it serves a purpose. It gets us by one more year to be able to go home and say to our constituents, our hospitals, we understand. There's uncompensated care. We get it. Here's the best that we could do in these tough times. It's a matter of priorities, and I'd ask the body to resist this amendment. Stick with the original amount. Thank you, Mr. President.
For discussion, Senator Bebout.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President, for my second time, and I understand and appreciate all the very eloquent arguments made by my colleague from the northern part of the state. The one thing that I would ask, and we talked about a little bit yesterday, is, you know, if you're having a situation where you're struggling business-wise, you write off a lot of debt, then you have established cash reserves. And the question asked yesterday, what are the reserves of some of these hospitals? And if, in fact, their reserves are not there, and they are going into the red, and they're not sure how they can deal with their cash flow, that's one thing. But if they have substantial reserves, I don't know the answer to that, Mr. President. Maybe they don't. I know that as I travel the state in some areas, you can just tell by looking at what activity is going on that they must have reserves. They wouldn't be spending the amount of money they have. Certainly in other areas, they probably don't. That would sure help me make that decision to look at their reserves and what they're writing off. And we've looked at other areas of government where people are suffering by what this body does, and they've come to me and said, here's our cash flow, here's our reserves. We've been spending our reserves. Pretty soon we will be broke. That amount of money or that the information has been providing us. So I would ask you to adopt this amendment, and then let's get that information tomorrow before this bill passes. That would sure help me in terms of how I vote tomorrow. Thank you.
Further discussion on the amendment? Back to the movement for a second time. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, these hospitals, they're all over the map. Some are county hospitals. Many of them are hospital districts. Hospital districts, at least we know that the lease for hospital districts, they can charge a mill levy, and the taxpayers pay that. So what you're asking with this whole concept is those very people, you're going to double dip them again by doing this bill. Some county hospitals have been bailed out by their county commissioners. Some have not. But it all comes down, the bottom line is taxpayers' dollars. And that's what we're here dealing with, taxpayers' dollars here. So you're going to hit them twice. And I suggest to you that this is if we're going to go down this, we ought to keep our budget sound, and we ought to pass this amendment, and I urge your favorable consideration.
We're on amendment number one. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Roll call. Oh, it is. Excuse me. This amendment has an appropriation. It requires a roll call. Roll call on the amendment number one to second reading.
Anderson District 2? Anderson District 28?
No.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
No.
Kraft?
No.
Dockstetter?
No.
Driscoll?
No.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Escobel?
Geis? No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Kinski?
No.
Landon?
No.
Meyer?
No.
Pappas?
No.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
No.
Scott?
No.
Monfladern?
Aye.
Wasserberger? President Nicholas.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 11 aye, 19 no.
The first reading amendment, the second reading amendment number one has failed. We're at amendment number two. If the reading clerk would please read that in.
Senate File 145, second reading amendment number 2 to substitute bill number 1.
Page Senator Scott.
After line 10.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move adoption of this amendment. Mr. President, what this amendment does is go into the bill and deal with constitutional issues, some of which we discussed in Committee of the Whole yesterday. First, we define uncompensated charity care. You can see the definition there. It clearly brings us within the necessary support of the poor exception in Article 16, Section 6. Second, there was an allegation we are making an appropriation to outfits not under the direct control of the state, that not the intended scheme of the amendment, and we're making it clear that the money's going into an account that's going to be administered by the health department, so the appropriation is under the absolute control of the state. The health department certainly is, although sometimes I wonder the way they behave, but it is under the control of the state. And then what the other allegation was that we were paying for things that had already occurred, and we remedy that. It's a little complicated, Mr. Chairman, but we're going to get a quarterly report, and you can see that page 2, line 18, and it's for uncompensated charity care beginning July 1, 2015. So it'll be for care that has not yet taken place. And that's, you can see that in page 3, line 13. And then we transform the on page 4, the section there on compensated charity care into a limit on the distribution. So what goes on, Mr. President, is that you want a very sophisticated analysis of what the uncompensated charity care was to determine the proportion each hospital gets, and that's what's in the limit. You take what their most recent cost report as of June 1, 2015, which is carefully chosen, so it'll all be the 2014 reports, and you figure what percentage of the total charity care in these hospitals each hospital has, what fraction, actually, because you translate it from a percent to a fraction. And then you take that fraction times the appropriation. That's the limit that's available to it. And then you pay out, as in this coming year, they incur expenses. You pay out up to that limit. If you were to do the limit based on the care in the next year, you would delay the payments by year and a half, and it would defeat a good part of your purpose. So that's how the amendment works, Mr. President, and I would submit that it answers all the constitutional questions that were raised in Committee of the Whole yesterday.
Senator Von Platern.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm just curious of the sponsor. So do all hospitals are compensated equally, or did you still breaking it down by acute care and et cetera?
Further discussion on the amendment before the movement takes a second time? Back to the movement, Senator Scott.
Mr. President, they aren't all compensated equally. We didn't touch the amendment yesterday, which targeted two-thirds of the funds to the smaller critical access hospitals and one-third to the larger acute care hospitals. So you have that targeting, and frankly, the larger ones, because they can perform a lot more tests and things like that are profitable, they're in better shape than are the smaller ones, who are being particularly hard hit with the increased deductibles in Obamacare, and we're in some trouble anyhow because of the shifting way that medicine healthcare is delivered. Second, they're treated equally, and they're getting the same proportion of their charity care as shown on the previous years, and that's not going to vary greatly from one year to the next. They will take different amounts of time with the new care with this amendment to reach that, but I suspect it'll all be that first quarterly report will probably show enough charity care to distribute the full amount of funds, particularly as we gradually whittle those funds back as this bill goes through the process.
We're on amendment number two. All those, excuse me, going back to Mr. Majority Floor Leader. This was...
Mr. President, just a couple of questions. If you look at the amendment on lines 6 and 7, be expected to pay for due to poverty. How are you to define that? I mean, everybody has their own idea what poverty is. That's my first question. And then further on in that same part of the amendment, Mr. President, lines 7 through 9, where we administer this article, shall use definition that's in the Medicare cost report. Are we, what we're saying is already in that? Are they similar? Are they different? Is there conflicting language in either one or both?
Yeah, Majority Floor is slow to pick out his constitution, so we'll give the movement a third opportunity.
Yeah,
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, appreciate that. I was going to ask leave to speak a third time. Mr. President, unable to pay due to poverty means the same thing as necessary support of the poor, I think. The real definition here is we're picking up the federal definition that's used in the Medicare cost report. That's quite a complex definition. We heard testimony on that in committee. It's based on the federal poverty level. So you have that same targeting on the necessary support of the poor, but there's adjustments made on a sliding scale according to income. And Mr. President, that's consistent with the whole principle of the necessary support of the poor. So we picked that out. It's later you'll see we're looking at the cost reports and the as of a certain date, and the testimony in committee was the federal definition here that they're using for uncompensated charity care hasn't changed in 20 years and isn't expected to change. Feds have been very consistent doing these cost reports, and good reason for them to do so. So we didn't want to recite the whole federal definition. It would fill up the green books unnecessarily, but it's a term of art with the people in this business, and everybody that's concerned will know exactly what we're talking about with this definition.
We're on amendment number two. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Amendment number two has been adopted. We're now back on the bill. Any further discussion on the bill? Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I learn every time we do any bill that really matters, and I've really appreciated the discussion over the past two or three days. And I fully understand that there were those of us who thought last week that we had an option that would have worked better. And I understand that this week there are those who don't think this is a very good option. That said, I feel like at least it's a target we're shooting at that we know is an appropriate target. Our hospitals are struggling out there. We're the first to admit, those of us who stayed up late one night and tried to decide what we might be able to do, what we might be able to take home that would directly help, with the impacts of the Affordable Care Act and with the stresses that our healthcare system is under and the front lines of the hospitals. We fully admit that this is a one-time shot. And the chairman of appropriations is right. It's a small one. Is it going to come back again? Sure, we could bring it back again year after year after year. I don't anticipate that. I hope that our Labor and Health Committee and others will go to work during the interim and try to find some answers to some of these perplexing questions in health care. Whether you think last week was a better option or whether you think today no option is an option, I understand that and I respect that. But what this bill does for us, it gives us at least an option that we can consider. It's the beginning of a three-day conversation that we're going to have about the priority of our supplemental budget. It really kind of begins today.
Do we put a little bit of funding toward a health care system that's really stressed out there? Or do we save it for something else? And that's the decision we have with Senate File 145, Mr. President. And thank you very much.
On the bill. Senate File 145 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection is so ordered. House Bill 8, first, second. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Courtesy to the floor.
You may.
Thank you, Mr. President. I apologize to my tall colleague from Natrona County and speaking after a second time. My nose was in the Constitution. I've learned that by watching him. And I was trying to find that one section he always refers to, and I know where it is. So I apologize to the body, and I know very well that I should not speak after they've spoken twice.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Lord, I saw you pulling it out. You're just a little slow getting it out. You're... House Bill number 8.
Lot of things out. Whoa!
House Bill number 8, second reading.
House Bill number 8, landowner indemnification.
Are there any amendments? House Bill number 8, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? It's so ordered. House Bill number 10, second reading of the amendment. File.
House Bill number 10, Education State Authorization Reciprocity Agreement.
House Bill number 10, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection is so ordered. House Bill number 14, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 14, electronic citations.
We have an amendment. If the reading clerk would please read in the amendment.
House Bill number 14, second reading amendment number 1 to corrected copy, page 2, line 13.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, I would move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 14 and ask the body to vote aye. What we're doing with this amendment is ultimately, when you read the bill the way that it is ultimately you allow this diversion of one half of the court automation fee to be diverted and retained by cities or municipalities solely for the purpose of defraying costs and expenses relating to and establishing and maintaining an electronic citation system. What this would do after system inserts the words in the two places where that same paragraph appears in the bill. The system shall submit and collect data in a form and manner prescribed by the Supreme Court to comply with the requirements of the Judicial Systems Automation Account under 52120. Mr. President, what this does is 52120 is the account that's created with this court automation fee. The purpose of that account was to, one of the things was to provide automation. We've done that in the circuit courts, Mr. President. We're doing that in the district courts. This next step is the municipal courts. And so what this does is, so the automated system, the language there would just allow cities or municipalities to go out and entertain, establish, and maintain an electronic citation system. This will make sure that it complies and requires, so the reporting that's needed to understand and track these things all the way back from through the courts and on into to our Department of Transportation, so that they have the information. So that's all it does. It just makes clear that we want to have this interoperability between these systems, so when they're collected and these citations are issued, that they fit in the system, they work in the system, and we can use the information, which is one of the reasons we're doing them. Thank you, Mr. President.
We're on the First Amendment. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment's been adopted. We're back on the bill. Is there any further discussion on the bill? House Bill 14, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 16, second reading of the bill. Why don't you redo that?
Oh, it's on.
I got you.
House Bill 16, Offense Against Public Administration.
House Bill 16, we have an amendment. If the reading clerk would be, please read in the First Amendment.
House Bill number 16, second reading amendment number 1, page 1, lines 8 through 16.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 16 and ask the body to vote aye. Mr. President, what this does is it goes in and beginning on pages 1 through on page 1 through the end of page 1 and through line 7 on page 2, what it does is it deletes the offense related to this notary. Mr. President, the reason I did that is when we adopted the Uniform Notarial Acts, Mr. President, what we did is we changed from the Notarial Acts and we changed what it meant to be in the presence of. We recognize that Wyoming is a small state and oftentimes referred to as a small town with long streets. And we've got in the presence, we allow things like you to, you could send this out to a friend. If you were a notary, you could send it to a friend who might live on a ranch or in a town where they don't, a little village where they don't have a notary. They can mail it back to you and you know that person. You know who it is and you go ahead and notarize that and move it in. We've done that in our notarial bill. And so when we're in here, we've changed that. We've allowed that in our. But when we do this, now we're talking about an instituting crimes for not being in the presence of that person, when in reality we've defined or expanded the definition of presence so it's not in the uniform, and I think that it will cause some confusion. In addition to that, I don't think for a minute that notarial officers who would sign or notarize fraudulent statements as a part of some nefarious act to defraud or do something like that are going to get away scot-free. Ultimately, they can be, if they're conspirators, they can be charged as co-conspirators in any type of crime. Ultimately, the reputations are at stake. Their notaries can be revoked. There may be other civil penalties with respect to duties or otherwise that would still be out there. So I don't think that by doing this that we're letting or giving carte blanche or giving permission for notaries to disregard their duties. But I think that it does create an issue in that we have changed these definitions, and so that I think it's both unfair to the notaries and unfair to the public with the language we have in there. And so I'd ask for you to vote aye on this amendment. Thank you, Mr. President.
Discussion on the amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 has been adopted. We're at the second amendment. If the clerk would please read it in.
House Bill number 16, second reading amendment number 2, page 1, line 4.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 16 and ask for the body's favorable consideration. Mr. President, this goes into the area of our Amendment 4 funds. And essentially it says that no public servant, which essentially, Mr. President, is ourselves, we can't dip our hands in the pot. And the pot's pretty big, Mr. President. It could be up to a total of $240 million. And essentially what it says is that if we do that, we violate subsection D, and Mr. President, this is a stiff fine, and that's why I bring it on second reading. If anybody wants to do anything with it, but I'd suggest we pass it and leave it alone. It's a felony up to 5 years and a fine of up to $10,000. Mr. President, I think this just I think proves to the public that we're not going to have our hands on the Treasury of the state of Wyoming, and we're not going to dip our hands into it. And if we do, there's consequences. So, Mr. President, stand for questions.
Discussion on the amendment. Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a quick question with regard to paragraph D. No public servant shall receive any unique pecuniary benefit as a result of any contract involving any funds, et cetera, et cetera. My good friend from the Toronto County just got done describing the state for which we work, and A lot of it's really interconnected, and I guess I'd like a little more conversation about what kind of protections this might provide in situations where you may have a relative of some sort or a close associate that may benefit from something. I'm just wondering if the tentacles of this amendment reach out a little too far in that respect. I just get a little bit concerned. There's seldom a vote that goes on that we're not voting on something that's going to benefit somebody who's related to somebody who's related to us. That's just the nature of our state. And so that's the only... I'm fully on board with my colleague from the east part of the state. I think that every one of us probably get the intent. I just don't want there to be some unintended consequence here. Thank you, Mr. President.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and against Second Amendment. Excuse me. I'm not against the Second Amendment.
Whew.
Strike that. In fact, I'm a believer. On and against this amendment. I'd suggest we be pretty careful. This is a big stretch over the original intent of the bill, and as the speaker from Natrona County suggested, this is a volunteer legislature that puts in a lot of citizen legislature that puts in a lot of time, and it's with a small population. We are connected, so if we'd like to look at this kind of a stretch. Maybe it's an interim topic, but let's be very careful before we adopt this one.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, and I would say my inclination is to support this amendment, but I'm not quite sure what a unique pecuniary benefit is. And I can understand it if what we're talking about is somebody in the legislature being a recipient or their firm that they partly own being a recipient of one of these Amendment 4 loans. I would say that, gee, it's appropriate to cover that. But suppose, Mr. President, one of us owns a contracting business. I don't know that anybody here does, but owns a contracting business, and you get one of these Amendment 4 loans in your county, and you bid on and get the job of going into the backhoe and digging the trenches to bury the pipe for the building that's going to be taking the utilities to the building. Is that covered by this amendment? That's not clear to me what you mean by unique pecuniary benefit. And I, Mr. President, would hope that when the sponsor takes his second time, he could discuss what that means.
Senator Bebout.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. And along that same line, and I could very well be that contractor. The question I would have is, as a public servant, so what about if I'm involved as a contractor and it happens to be a relation of mine that's involved independently of me? And so how do you get into that with the definition in there? And we're talking about a felony, Mr. President. You know, the Amendment 4, it required 2/3 vote of both bodies to even move it forward in the first place. And my colleague from Goshen County is correct that, you know, it's up to about $240 million, 1% of our assessed valuation. I appreciate what he's trying to do here. I'm just not sure this is a way to do it because there's so many unknowns out there and unanswered questions. Wyoming is a small state, and I'm not sure who may be affected. It's totally unknown to them or unintentional, yet they come back and then they're going to be prosecuted for a felony. I think that's a stretch, and I think this is something that we ought to be very careful about, Mr. President.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just trying to track this in and into the existing statute. I mean, and I guess that's the kind of the nature of the confusion with respect to this Second Amendment, with this Amendment Number 2. And when we start out in A, which is in the bill, it's talking about a public officer or public servant who invests public funds for a unit of government. So we'd be talking about someone in our treasurer's office. You're talking about somebody in the treasurer's office. Could be somebody with the state retirement group that invests the funds of the retirement folks. And so ultimately, when you look at A, we're talking about those investment of public funds, and that's kind of where it ends. It defines pecuniary benefit, which also includes benefits in the form of services such as, but not limited to, transportation and lodging. And so there is a definition for pecuniary benefit. Unique, what I guess would have a standard meaning of what unique was, although I'm not really sure what that would mean here. But when we look at what D does, is D expands this section from those who are investing the funds of the state to anybody, any public servant receiving any unique or pecuniary benefit as a result of any contract involving any funds appropriated under Article 16, Section 12 of the Wyoming Constitution. And as you said, one of the problems, one of the good thing about Wyoming is we have a citizen legislature. One of the bad things about Wyoming is we have a citizen legislature. As we come down here, you know, we have everything from schools to contractors to teachers to administrators to lawyers to all kinds of small businessmen, oil field people. And you look at that, ultimately, in those situations, there can be, in many instances, pecuniary benefits bestowed incidentally upon individuals who are participating in the government function. And so, I mean, quite frankly, there could be a contract with respect to something that even you're doing in the legislature, and if you're receiving travel or lodging as a direct consequence of a part of that contract, even though you may have declared a conflict on the floor, even if you may have voted against the bill and declared a conflict, I guess you couldn't do both. If you declare a conflict, this doesn't excuse you. And so I appreciate the intent, and certainly it's a difficult position to stand up here and argue like that you're in favor of graft, of which I don't think anybody here is. Certainly we ought to stamp that out, but I think that this is a shotgun or maybe even a one of those anti-personnel mines that has gone off here and cuts a really wide swath. Has far-reaching, unanticipated consequences.
Any further discussion before the movement takes the second time? Back to the movement. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I think some good discussion, some good points. And to go directly to the suggestion of what I was trying to do from the tall senator from Patrona County is to make it very narrow and just basically have it is that if we're acting in our official duties, if we get that benefit, then we have a penalty provision. It doesn't go to your spouses, your children, your brothers, your the other people like that. Now, as to whether or not the language is too broad, where it might include a perfectly normal contract relationship, arm's length transaction between two businesses, it may sweep that in, and that may be a problem with the amendment as it is written. As far as the construction, as far as where staff put it, it may very well fit better over on page 3, section 65107. So, Mr. President, I think we've had a good discussion. A lot of the unintended consequences were brought up as to the structure of the amendment, and perhaps it's a little bit broad. So, Mr. President, what I would do at this time is that I would withdraw the amendment, ask people to come back to the desk and help me make sure that we got it worked in the right spot, and it's narrow enough so we don't have the unintended consequences that were discussed on the floor.
Without objection, the sponsor movement has withdrawn second reading amendment number 2. We're now back on the bill. Any further discussion on the bill? House Bill 16, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 33, second reading of the bill. Senator Scott.
Mr. President, may we request that House Bill 33 workers' comp, a premium experience modification be laid back one day. We're working on an amendment. We want to consult with the department on it.
Mr. Senator Scott, I'm not sure that you can do that. I think that today is the last day for second reading. Let's
double. This is a House bill.
Oh, it's a House bill?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much. Without objection, thank you for pointing that out. Without objection, House Bill 33 is laid back for one additional day. House Bill 57, second reading of the bill. Here you go.
House Bill number 57, Health Insurance Medical Necessity Reviews.
House Bill 57. Any no amendments or discussion? House Bill 57 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 71, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 71, Nursing Education Programs.
House Bill 71 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next item of business is bills on third reading. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
President, we do have a consent list. And I move the third reading consent list, which is as follows. Senate File 116, Legislature Compensation. Senate File 124, Sales and Use Tax Enforcement. Senate File 130, Lottery Commission Reporting Requirements. Senate File 133, Bighorn Sheep Relocation, and Senate File 144, Microbreweries Minimum Barrel Requirement.
Would any member like any of the bills removed from the consent list? The President takes the liberty of removing Senate File 116 from the consent list. Any other bills to be removed from the consent list? Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? Senate File 124, Sales and Use Tax Enforcement. Senate File 130, Lottery Commission Reporting Requirements. Senate File 133, Bighorn Sheep Relocation. Senate File 144, Microbreweries Minimum Barrel Requirement. Will the reading clerk please call the roll?
On the consent list, Anderson District 2?
Aye.
Anderson District 28?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich? Escobel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Platern?
Aye.
Wasserberger?
Aye.
President Nicholas?
Aye.
On the consent list, 30-I. Senate File 124, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 124, 30-I. Senate File 130, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 130, 30-I. Senate File 133, are there any changes? Von Flatern, aye to no.
Case,
aye to no. Pappas, aye to no. Hastert, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 133, 26 aye, 4 no. Senate File 144, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 144, 30 ayes.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate Files 124, 130, 133, and 144 have passed the Senate. Senate File 95, third reading of the bill. Hold on a second. Senator Driscoll, would you like privilege of the floor?
Chairman, privilege of the floor.
You may.
Ladies and gentlemen of the legislature, please join me in welcoming Gary Becker and Matt Avery, Campbell County Commissioners from the energy capital of the world.
Welcome. Senate File 95, third reading of the bill.
Senate File 95, speed limit, sponsored by Rep. Senator Cole, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. If the reading clerk would please read in the first reading amendment.
Senate File 95, third reading amendment number 1, page 1, line 3.
Senator Cole.
Third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 95. Members of the Senate, this is the bill that provides the discretion for the department to go in and look at raising speed limits on some of the wider, more reasonable two-lane highways out there. We had quite a discussion about that on Committee of the Whole. This amendment does four things. It made sense because of the nature of the bill and the, you know, what the bill does. To come in and after we passed the 80-mile-an-hour speed limit last year, to come in and make sure that the speed limit penalties correspond with the other ones. You'll see that at the bottom of the first page of the amendment, paragraph I, 81 through 85 miles per hour, 76 through 80, 66 through 70, $5 fine per mile an hour. So that's the first thing it does. The other thing it does is that it authorizes a study. This is the part that was a little bit debated on Committee of the Whole, and you'll see that on page 3 of the amendment. The bill as it came out had a fiscal note on it of significant nature, like $1.7 million, because the department was going to go in and treat all two-lane highways as if they all had to be considered. What we do with this part of the amendment, we provide $180,000 towards that effort to understand that we will phase in this process. That's on the last page of the amendment. Outside of that, Mr. Chairman, there's a report required we put in there. That pretty much answers the concerns that the department had, I think, with Section 3 of the amendment. I worked with the Chairman of Transportation Committee and asked that you support the amendment.
We're on the amendment, number 1. Any discussion? Senator Scott.
Mr. President, point of order. I do see an appropriation here. Does this require a roll call?
Yes. Any discussion on the amendment? Roll call on the amendment.
Anderson, District 2?
Aye.
Anderson, District 28?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe? Coe? Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Escobel? Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
No.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott?
No.
Von Platern?
Aye.
Wasserberger?
No.
President Nicholas?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 25 aye, 5 no.
The amendment is adopted. Back on the bill. Any further discussion on the bill? Roll call on the bill.
Anderson District 2?
Aye.
Anderson District 28?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich? Escobel?
No.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Johnson?
No.
Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott?
No.
Von Platern?
Wasserberger? Aye.
President Nicholas?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 26 aye, 4 no.
Senate File 95. Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 95 has passed the Senate. Senate File 115. Third reading of the bill.
Senate File 115, Discrimination, sponsored by Senator Rothfuss. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have an amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File 115, Third Reading Amendment Number 1, page 9 after line 16.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 115, ask for the body's favorable consideration. Mr. President, this is a very narrow structured amendment. It goes only into the employment part of the statute, into the Perkins second reading amendment. It's structured to be a small business exemption for employers of less than 15, and it's only in the employment area. It has nothing to do with the other part of the bill where discrimination is provided for or anti-discrimination is provided for, and that's in the full enjoyment of public accommodation and facilities. And that's in places and agencies that are public in nature or invite the patronage of the public without any distinction. So, Mr. President, it's a very narrowly structured exception. It's the same exception that exists in federal law under the Civil Rights Act, I think of 64 and 71. And it's only in regards to topics of if I can get the exact words here, perceived gender or the sexual orientation. So there is no exception for race, creed, color, or age or any of those ones that are normally associated with discrimination, but it's only in regards to those two circumstances, and it's only in regards to private companies who have no public interaction.
Discussion on the amendment. Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. President. In our own definitions on 27-9-102, where we talk about what is an employer, it says an employer shall mean the state of Wyoming or any public, blah, 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 employing two or more persons. So suddenly we're making this exception in this statute right here for 15 or less, when we have our own definition what an employer is, and it's two or less. Ask you to defeat this amendment.
On the amendment, further discussion? Roll call has been asked for. Is there any further discussion on the amendment? Roll call on the amendment.
Anderson, District 2? No. Anderson, District 28?
No.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
No.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Kraft?
No.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
No.
Emmerich?
No.
Escobel? Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Kinski?
Aye.
Landon? Meyer?
Aye.
Pappas?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
No.
Rothfuss?
No.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Flatern? Wasserberger?
No.
President Nicholas?
No.
Closing vote? Closing? Vote closed. 11 aye, 19 no.
Third reading amendment number one has failed. We're back on the bill. Discussion on the bill. Senator Case.
Mr. President, thank you very much. The real reason I'm rising today is to tell you how proud I am of all of you and to say how proud I am of Wyoming and how far we've come that we can be having this debate about this bill. And I heard names on the last roll call that I didn't hear on a roll call 3 years ago, and I'm so proud of you. I think, you know, this does a lot to do something about the legacy of events, tragic events in Laramie that, you know, painted this great state with something it didn't deserve. And you and the people of Wyoming are standing up, and it's just fabulous. I'm overwhelmed. I truly am. Last night I ran into a transgender individual who used to work for me at a different time. And I didn't recognize him now, but when he explained that he was her then, and it all came together, and I'm just kind of overwhelmed, and I'm going, wow, we're having this conversation, and it's okay. And it's all going to be okay. This is going to work out. With this bill going forward, it's all going to be fine. Personally, I'm going to oppose this bill, but it's not because of any of the wonderful things that you've all said and how far you've come. It's mostly that I believe that we don't have the right to tell someone else how to conduct their business without an overreaching public purpose. And with that, I'll be against this bill, but I will be so proud of you. And this bill will pass, I'm confident. And thank you, Wyoming.
Discussion on the bill. Senator Meyer.
Mr. President. Mr. President, I call your attention to this that should be in the top of your desk. Essentially, this is the law of the land. This is what the federal government says. And if you look down there where you can probably see the highlighted area, and essentially the law of the land that's the U.S. law for discrimination, and I'll read it so people understand what it is out there in the country. It says, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission has held that discrimination against an individual because that person is transgender, also known as gender identity discrimination, is discrimination because of sex, and therefore is covered under Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. What we're doing in this bill, federal government already covers it. There's no need for this bill in those circumstances. It goes on to say, the commission has also found that claims by lesbian, gay, and bisexual individuals alleging sex stereotyping state a sex discrimination claim under Title VII. There's no reason for this bill, it already exists in federal law, that discrimination is a sex discrimination in claims of lesbian, gay, or bisexual individuals. So, Mr. President, I think this is a bill that's looking for a problem that already has a solution. It's a federal solution. I would think that most of our county prosecutors would probably turn this over to the U.S. District Attorney if they found that it was a discrimination case. So, Mr. President, this is a feel-good bill. I'm okay. You're okay. That's the only thing it does. It doesn't change the law. Hardly at all, Mr. President.
Senator Perkins.
President, on and for the bill, if we look at the bill and what this does and doesn't do, fellow senators, this is not an endorsement of any particular form of conduct, regardless of how you may live your life or others may live theirs. It's not. It doesn't impair for those who provide services. It doesn't, it makes heterosexuals and homosexuals, all relationships, protected under the law. It makes all gender identities, whether they're perceived or the ones you're born with, it makes us all equal under the law. It protects us, it protects the exercise of faith by churches and other associations that are based on religious teaching. One of the reasons I'm in favor of this bill is that, as I've looked about this, I've got three members of my extended family that fall into particular groups that are looking forward to having some of the effects of this law in their lives. I've got both in homosexual and gender identity, and what I know from talking with them is that's a hard life that they're in, Mr. President. They're all saying, and the parents have said that, you know, this isn't a life that they would have chosen, because it's not an easy road to hoe. It's made their lives much more difficult. And what you do if you go out and do the research, depending on what studies you are, why do these people need some protection? Why do folks need protection in these categories? Well, one of the reasons they do need protection is because it's not just a percentage, Mr. President, of how they're treated. It's not just a percentage of an increase that you find, but it's multiples compared to others who already seem to enjoy these protections. Multiples of being bullied, multiple more opportunities and instances of being assaulted or even murdered, and perhaps maybe most disturbing and most telling is multiple more chances. I mean multiples, like sometimes it depends what you read, but somewhere between 2 to 4 times more likely to commit suicide, particularly in youth. And so as you look at that, I think that when you look at that, while it makes us all equal, this obviously does provide some extended protections. With respect to the fine of the EEOC is a regulatory body. It may be how they enforce their things and how they perceive to be the law. But those and the decisions you read in there are decisions and appeals to the Equal Opportunity Employment Commission. They're not in courts. They're not in our state law. And so as you look at this, at the end of the day, it's not an endorsement of how you may live your life or how someone else may live theirs. but I think that it's appropriate and it's time that we all become equal under the law while still protecting the differences that we may have in the way that we worship and the way that we conduct our private lives. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. President. You know, I thought long and hard before I even rose on this bill, and I can't match the eloquence of my friend from Natrona County. But I felt compelled to kind of speak from the heart because this is one of those bills that you carry with you for a little while, and you spend a lot of time on the highway driving back and forth to wherever you come from, and you spend a lot of time and really looking in your heart on this. And I just wanted to share this story. I'm fortunate to work at a place where there is a lot of diversity and a lot of different kinds of thought, and we all blend together and we do our jobs. And I've developed a pretty close friendship with somebody who works within the arm of the institution where I'm fortunate enough to work. And we look at the world from completely different directions most of the time. But we've become pretty good friends. And this person lives under a different lifestyle and has a partner that she cares deeply about. And she told me the other day, she said, you know, Mr. President, she said, when I first came to work here, she said, I was so afraid to let people know who I was because I was afraid that I'd be fired. And I thought about that for a long time. And I thought, you know, what a shame it would be for people who are that good at what they do and that good to the colleagues around them to have a human resource office or a leader that didn't understand things just reach in there and fire somebody just because of their lifestyle or because of who they are. This bill, as my friend pointed out, is not an endorsement of anything. We can all choose what lifestyle and what direction we want to go. What this really is just an equal protection for that. And those friends that I referred to at the place where I work, I'm going to vote for them. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Von Flatiron.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is definitely a tough choice for some, but I'll take the direction of business. Look at who is supporting this, the PAW, the Wyoming Mining Association. And I can name those organizations, I believe, on the floor of the Senate because we deal with them every day. We also make lots of rules and laws that affect them. And they're standing behind us on this one. They're in support. We want to make Wyoming a welcoming place for business. And when you're looking to try to recruit those high-tech companies, they all do a socioeconomic analysis of where they may place the next factory, the next data center. And they look at our state and they go through the checklist. Great low electrical rates, cooler climate because of the high elevation, so forth, so on. They also look at our laws and our statutes. And they say, are they going to be welcoming to our employees, the young engineers that we want to draft here and have come move to Cheyenne, Casper, or wherever. And so we get a black mark in that spot. We get a blank box left unchecked because we cannot fill it. Right now, with the passage of this, we're close. We're really close. And so we'll be a welcoming business environment for all those companies, and we spend a lot of money trying to recruit them. So thank you, Mr. President. Standing in support.
Senator Kinski.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Short.
We started out several days ago with an amendment that would shape how we feel, because where we vote on so many things is not only a function of our intellect, but of our heart. And my hat's off to Mr. Vice President, indeed a skilled wordsmith, to be able to put these words together that I think strikes the kind of balance that we all feel. between heeding Christ's admonition that we not condemn, the admonition of the founders that we live in tolerance with one another. Roger Williams, the founder of Rhode Island, admitted people of all faiths to Rhode Island. And it's not because he particularly cared for those faiths, but he believed that we could all live in acceptance of one another. And that acceptance is different, as Mr. Vice President said, than endorsement. It is important that we not condemn. It's equally important that we be respectful of those who, by reasons of faith or freedom of association, hold a different view than this bill. And for that reason, the faith exception that's carved out here has been key to striking the balance that we all feel, or that at least I think most of us feel, needs to be had in these kind of bills. I think it's important that we not discriminate. I was raised in my family, a family of entrepreneurs, for three generations, that you take the customers as you come and you get the best employees that you can. And as long as they're at work and being productive, what they do on their personal time doesn't matter. And it was decades ago that I had what was then called a domestic partner's endorsement on our health insurance coverage. I had people who were heterosexual living together, people who were homosexual living together. I had might have taken exceptions to some of those decisions, but I figured it was none of my business. They were my employees. They deserved to have the coverage. And I needed to accept them as they came and treat them with the respect that they were due. Not because I endorsed the lifestyle, but because I accepted them as people who are making a contribution to my business and to society. I rise in favor of the bill, and I urge your affirmative consideration.
Senator Cole?
Mr. President, rising in support of the bill. I've been down here a long time, along with some other people, and there used to be a saying around here that some of my friends are for this bill and some of my friends are against this bill, and I'm for my friends. And that's kind of the way I feel about this bill. I am in support of this bill. You know, it's interesting. I don't think 15 years ago we would have been looking at this subject. But time has changed. This is 2015. We need to step up and do what we need to do, and we need to pass this bill. Discrimination in the workplace, that's what this bill is about, is just wrong. Absolutely wrong. All this talks about is discrimination in the workplace. I had all these emails. I'm sure you guys didn't get many of them, but I got a couple. And one of the things that they talked about in there, this canned email that I got, was violation of their religious conscience. Anybody else see that? This bill, to me, solves my fairness conscience. This is what's fair to do. And we need to support this bill and move it forward. It's time. This is the equality state. Urge the Senate vote for this bill.
Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and for the bill. I'd take you back to why this bill surfaced. Like so many bills that come before us, and some of them make it into law, it's because of bad behavior out there. And we heard some horrific examples of bad behavior. And when the doers of the bad deeds were challenged, they found there was a gap in the law and there wasn't a remedy. So, members of the Senate, this is a bill about workplace fairness, about treating people right. Let's go ahead and move this one forward.
Question. The question having been called, the chief clerk will please call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
No.
Bebout.
No.
Burns.
Aye.
Case. Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Escobel?
Yep.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Fladern?
Aye.
Wasserberger?
Aye.
President Nicholas?
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 24 ayes, 6 no.
Senate File 115, having received the affirmative vote of the majority members elected to the Senate, Senate File 115 has passed the Senate. Senate File 116, third reading of the bill.
Senate File 116, Legislature Compensation, sponsored by Senator Johnson.
Any discussion on the bill? Will the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson District 2?
Aye.
Anderson District 28?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case? Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
No.
Driscoll?
No.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Escobel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
No.
Meyer?
Aye.
Pappas? Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Fladern?
Aye.
Wasserberger?
Aye.
President Nicholas?
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 23 ayes, 7 no.
Senate File 116, having received the affirmative vote of the majority members elected to the Senate, Senate File 116 has passed the Senate. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that we stand recessed until 2 p.m.
Announcements. No announcements? Tate Wilford. Senator Emmerich.
Mr. President, the Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State and Public Lands, Water Resources, will meet upon adjournment today in S-15 to consider House Joint 3, engrossed free-roaming wild horses.
Senator Von Fladern.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 9, Minerals and Economic Development, will meet tomorrow about 20 minutes after noon recess in room S-18 to consider House Bill 27, engrossed NRC agreement, state authorization, House Bill 60, engrossed trust company amendments, and we've added since yesterday House Bill 54, engrossed corrective action account distribution.
Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet Wednesday morning at 7 o'clock, room S1, to consider the following bills. House Bill 49, confidentiality of participants involved in execution. House Bill 47, shipment of wine. House Bill 18, engrossed Drone Protection Act. House Bill 123, engrossed juvenile record expungement.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 2, Appropriations, will meet in 15 minutes to consider the following bills. Yep. Eat fast. House Bill 19, Registered Investment Advisors. House Bill 20, Clarification of Duties of Treasurer's Office, re-referral then. House Bill 13, State Park Use of Fees.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 3, Revenue, will meet in 30 minutes up in S-16 up here in the corner to discuss House Bill 5, Property Tax Refund Program Extension, House Bill 6, Engrossed Airline Companies Assessment, and finally House Bill 9, Engrossed Alternative Fuel Taxation.
Senator Rothfuss.
Mr. President, may I have privilege of the floor for a moment before lunch? Mr. President, I'd like to welcome Leadership Laramie and the Laramie Chamber Alliance above you. They're touring the Capitol today and watching our good show. Please welcome them to the Senate.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a heads up for members of the Senate. It's the intention of your Majority Floor Leader to come in tomorrow at 9 o'clock. I've spoken with the committee chairman, and they're flexible with their schedule to be sure and hear all these wonderful House bills. And then we're going to come in at 8:30 on Thursday morning, and understand, of course, that tomorrow we're going to start the committee of the whole discussion on the budget bill, carry it over to Thursday. It's the intention of your floor leader to have a long day Thursday, but do it early. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Hastert.
Privilege of the floor.
You may.
Members of the Senate, to help us bring the trophy home last night and the singing partner for Senator Peterson, I'd like to introduce Josh Wentz. He's the professor of music at Western Wyoming Community College and the Senate ringer.
All right. Any further announcements? Senator Meyer.
Mr. President, your committee number 8 will meet Wednesday upon adjournment in S-14 to discuss House Bill 74, Front License Plate Requirement, House Bill 120, Tribal License Plates, House Bill 115, Vehicle Registration Timing, and House Bill 100, Highway Funding.
Any further announcements? You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. Opposed, no. That motion passes. The Senate shall stand in recess until 2 p.m.